A thing that looks like a police box standing in a junkyard. It can move anywhere.
Haven, concentrate on Sim. Give priority to the detectors and the navigation systems.
There is a corridor. And the corridor is time. It surrounds all things.
On display, I eventually had to go down to the cellar. That's the display department. With a torch. The lights are probably gone. So had the stairs.
Yours is number 6.
I am not a number. I am a person.
Welcome to British Invaders, episode 242. This is the podcast all about British science fiction television, and this time we are talking about Raven. This is Brian from Canada.
And this is Eamon from England. Hello.
Raven was a 6-episode serial, 25-minute episodes that ran on ITV in 1977. And it mixes supernatural themes with environmental concerns and also brings in some other literary elements and gives us some intriguing types of things in this children's show.
So it's an interesting show from that great 1970s sort of almost golden age of children's television shows that we've gone back to on several occasions. And here's another one, as you say, from 1977. Something interesting for us to talk about.
Absolutely.
So let's get into the setup of the show. The title character is a young orphan, Raven, who has arrived at a remote archaeological dig to stay with Professor Young and his wife. They are interested in trying to extract all the relics and all the archaeological bits of interest from a series of caves, and there's a race to do this before the caves are converted to be used as a nuclear waste storage facility. So straight away you can see where the environmental concern is going to come into the show.
Yes, and it was very topical as a type of thing to cover at that point in the late 1970s.
Lots of concern and interest in what we would do with nuclear power and its waste.
For sure. And we also get these ideas that there are connections to King Arthur and the history there.
Yes, fascinating that there might be a link to Arthurian legend, these caves. So there's an awful lot going on right from the first episode.
Yes, that's right. So looking at the characters, Raven, who we've mentioned, played by Phil Daniels, is a rough and rather troubled young man from a reform school. And he seems to be basically a good person and a bright person, but he's clearly had some difficulties. And we find out that he was found originally as an abandoned baby in some sort of earthwork maze with a raven, the bird, standing guard over him. And he gets his name from how he was found as a very young child.
Yes, this very intriguing detail about his origins in the very first episode that we get to hear from him, how he was found. It's rather mysterious, and without giving too much away, I will say you probably won't find the answer to that mystery as this show goes on. It's just one of the oddities about the title character.
Yes, that's right. And it is certainly a show where you're not going to find a definitive answer to every question you might have. And that's part of the style of these sorts of shows. And it's something that I think makes it more interesting when it's done that way. Professor Young, played by Michael Aldridge, is a wheelchair-bound archaeologist who is in pursuit of the truth of the Arthurian legends. And he's using remote sensing equipment with all sorts of monitors in his little base looking into these caves. He is not able to enter the caves themselves because of his disability. But he is very interested and a strong academic and is doing a lot with this through what is brought back from the caves and through all of this remote sensing equipment.
Yes, the television monitors will be used several times throughout the show to give us an insight or give the characters an insight to what's going on below ground, where a lot of the excitement is happening. And obviously Professor Young can't get there, and in many cases the rest of the cast and then we ourselves can't get down there to see what's happening. So the TV monitors crucial to the activities below ground.
That's right.
So the professor's wife is Mrs. Young, a keen ornithologist who, interestingly, in the first episode, spots a strange bird that seems attracted to the arrival of Raven. It's not the Raven of a title. It turns out to be a Merlin, which, of course, is another clue to some of the Arthurian stuff that's going on here. And Mrs. Young was played by the actress Patsy Rowland, who obviously had a sort of, she was quite a turn as playing happy and cheerful wives. We remember her playing Kinvig's wife in the series of that name by Nigel Neal. And she was a regular in the Carry On sort of cast as well, often popping up in the 60s and 70s television shows playing the cheerful wife. And here she is as a sort of cheerful foster mother for Raven, very kindly, very concerned about his welfare, and her interest in birds giving us some little clues as to what might be going on.
Yes, the way her expertise in birds fits into the story is quite interesting. It's a neat little twist they have there. So Bill Telford is the chief scientist assigned to working with the caves to prepare them for their nuclear storage facility role. So he is sort of in opposition to the archaeological work and the historical and environmental things going on. He represents the progress end of things and the pro-nuclear movement, and he is something of an antagonist to many of the other characters in this sort of pro-progress kind of role.
Yes, interesting. As you say, he's set up as the antagonist, although his involvement in the later part of the show will be quite important and will change his character slightly. And then the last member of the sort of main protagonist, Naomi Grant, played by the actress Shirley Cheriton, a young and very attractive news journalist who's been sent to cover the dig and the excavations, and also obviously to focus on the environmental issues around their future use. She was a character obviously that Raven is interested in because she's very good looking. She's of a similar age to him, but obviously her path's gone slightly different, and she's trying to establish herself as a young reporter at the local newspaper who hopes of bigger and better things from her work.
Yes, she was an interesting character in part because she was a journalist, but also straying into environmental activism as well, which is possibly slightly odd as a journalist, but definitely captures important ideas for the time and for this show. So getting into a few more details, Raven is, as we said, quite bright, despite the sort of difficult origins he's had, and he's a quite struggling teenager. But he is the one who starts to put things together and starts to link things between the strange bird following him and some odd astrological symbols in the caves, and some of the dangers of what the nuclear waste company is planning to do. So he's the one who starts to put together the picture of what is happening across everything that's going on here.
Yes, that's right. And of course, he gets access to a lot of this stuff because the professor, who's very taken with this young man, the professor uses him as his own legs and sends him down into the caves to investigate stuff and report back. So, you know, there he is, fostered out to this family who, as I say, they quite admire the young Raven. They can see beyond his troubled background that he's bright and likable and basically a good person trying to find his way in the world. And of course, where he finds his way to is deep below ground and the strange goings on that will take up the rest of this story. And at the same time, he also bumps into Naomi, who's trying to write her story. Initially, her editor doesn't show any interest in this story at all. So she's facing her own difficulties trying to put together something about the caves and what might be lost when they're converted to a waste dump. So quite a bit going on. And it takes us, as we've said several times, deep below the surface of the earth.
It does. And in addition to all of these things in the cave, we also just happen to have a set of standing stones nearby that, of course, in this type of show play a role. And there are strange visions and noises and things that are coming from the caves, and strange things with these standing stones as well. So there are a lot of mysterious things that are going on here.
Yes, and I suppose in the 1970s, if you wanted to hint at ancient mysteries and strange things going on, you could tap into a lot of what was going on in terms of popular culture and popular interest by having a few standing stones on the surface at the top of the access to this archaeological dig. So, yes, we've seen them before. Here they propped up again, and maybe some of the same props as we've seen in other shows. Who knows?
Maybe. This is at least the fourth time that we've seen standing stones taking some sort of role in the show that we're discussing. So getting into our production notes, Raven was produced by Colin Schindler, who would be best known for the 1980s adaptation of the Chronicles of Narnia that ran on the BBC. Raven was written by Trevor Ray and Jeremy Burnham, who are best known for writing Children of the Stones that we have covered and mentioned many times. And this was actually released in the same year as Children of the Stones.
So there's an interesting connection there, which we'll get to in more detail perhaps later on. Trevor Ray, also known for writing for Doctor Who, he wrote The Ambassadors of Death. So another little genre connection there. And the director for Raven was Michael Hart, who again had also worked on Doctor Who because he directed The Space Pirates. So more connections to our favourite British science fiction television show. And this was an ATV Midlands production for ITV. And certainly from my point of view, having grown up in the Midlands, it was quite delightful to see the ATV station or network ident on the DVD episodes we've been watching. So quite charming to see that preserved. We don't see it anymore, and it was quite lovely.
Yes, there is a whole world of TV logos and idents floating around out there.
Yeah, absolutely.
We do have nice-looking opening titles and closing credit sequences, sort of reminiscent of what they did for the Tomorrow People, that sort of slightly oblique and spooky kind of thing, which is quite nice. The sound design by Phil Selman is also very good and reminds us of some of the very modern choral work from Children of the Stones and that sort of thing, which is... again, adds to things, I think.
Yes, I think so. I mean, as you say, nice titles, interesting choral or interesting sound, at least, and music. Doesn't quite give me the heebie-jeebies like the music for Children of the Stones did. But yes, it's interesting stuff. And also, the title Raven appears in a very sort of modern, almost futuristic font, which I think might be one of the first times we've mentioned a font on British Invaders, but there you go. Check it out if you do an image search for Raven 1977 or Phil Daniels Raven, and you'll see what I mean.
Yes, it is a very stylized sort of look to it, which is nice. So looking at the availability, Raven for quite some time was considered to be a partially lost serial. Not all of the episodes were cataloged and listed in archive. But that did change. The original 2-inch VT tapes were found, which is great and allows us to have quite a nice transfer of it.
Yes, and the DVD says that it was Network DVD themselves who tracked down the original 2-inch videotapes, and which just fascinates me that the television networks presumably have got their archives and maybe not be entirely sure what's in there. So companies like Network DVD can go down there and trawl through and try and find things. Who knows what other wonders are in the caves of television companies.
Yeah, the way that the cataloging works, often you really need to search for specific things and things can come out that way.
Right. Interesting stuff. So as you say, we're lucky enough to have a Network DVD release here in Region 2. As usual, it's fairly plain from Network DVD. It's just the 6 episodes with a few still images on the disc as well. But easy to get hold of, currently available on Amazon.co.uk for just £10. So not bad value, and features that lovely ATV logo on the back of the box as well. So here in Region 2, fairly easy to get hold of and fairly cheap.
But in Region 1, there is no release.
Sadly, no. Obviously didn't get shown over there at all.
Yeah, not that I'm aware of.
You can go to YouTube, and if you search for 1977 Raven or Network DVD Raven, you will see the trailer for this DVD release, which might give you a flavour of the titles, the font, and a little bit about the show, give you an idea of what we're talking about if this is one you haven't heard of.
And that's a trailer that was edited for the DVD release. There's no sort of original TV spot or anything like that, right?
No, that's right. This is something produced by Network DVD. I think it includes the titles and it just shows you some of the first episode, I believe. But it'll give you a flavour. It might remind you about this show, or it might obviously spur you on to go and buy the DVD, particularly if you're here in Region 2 and it's fairly easy to get hold of.
Absolutely. So next time, we will follow a little more of the story of Raven and see what happens when the team goes further into the caves and further into danger. And we will look at some of this mix of environmental concerns and astrology and all sorts of things that make up the later parts of this series.
And of course, our chance to review and give you our recommendations about whether you should add this to your collection or your viewing list. So stuff to talk about when we come back next time, Brian.
Yes, absolutely. So until then, you can find us at BritishInvaders.com, or if you search for British Invaders on Facebook, you will find our Facebook group. And we have lots of good discussions going there. We may even have a chance to win a copy of Raven on DVD.
Yes, watch out for that on the Facebook group as the second episode is released. Or come and join us at vognetwork.com, the Voice of Geeks Network, which looks like a content media network dedicated to geek culture and all things fandom. But that's only part of it, because VOG is a game where you can get points and you can get rewards, and loot can be found by the participants who contribute to the discussions or take part in broadcasts, read articles and so on. So there's quite a bit of stuff going on at the Voice of Geeks Network. Come and join us at vognetwork.com.
Yes, they have some really neat things going on there, and it's quite participatory, so it's quite fun. So thank you for listening, and this is Brian from Canada signing off.
Yes, thank you very much. Until next time, it's Eamon in England also signing off.